John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Well, it's good to be here. Sorry I was a little late, but I was at St. Luke's, and they're a talkative lot over there. It was a very short sermon, so I apologise I was a little late, but it's really good to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me, and privileged to be with you this morning. Ash mentioned, the rector mentioned the books that are free. Do have a look at those and take them. Take them either for yourself or to pass on to others. Real Lives. There are some amazing stories in Real Lives. A long one about a gambler who made a fortune gambling, but then he found something of greater treasure. But how he did is quite remarkable. And then the Life Stories, that's the newest in this whole series of books, which have got lots of stories as to how people became Christians. And there are some great stories in there. Paul Jones, Manfred Mann. Do you remember Manfred Mann? Yeah, that's a sign you're old. But anyway, it's his story of how he became a Christian is in there. I'm going to refer to it in a few moments' time. And they are free, so why not take them? But I brought some books. I'm afraid I'm a Yorkshireman, so they're not free. But they are very, very cheap. So all the books on the first two rows are only £1 each. And the ones at the back, a little bit more expensive, but not too expensive. But just in case there are some people from Lancashire here, you're not allowed to take them from the back row and put them on the front row, because I know what you're like. And but anyway, so do have a look at them. And let me mention a few. First of all, coming up to Easter, this little brand new book, 3 Days That Changed the World, looking at the death and the burial and the rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a book to give away to people at Easter. Perhaps wrap it up with an Easter egg and give it to the milkman or the electric meter reader or the bailiffs, whoever comes to your door. Just give it to them. You never know. So that's that. And then I'm sure many of you have come across Jeremy Marshall. He was the CEO of Hawes Bank in London. But about 9 years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer, given 18 months to live. He's still alive. I think he's had about 25 major operations, but he's still alive. He's the most wonderful man. He's written a book about his own life story, but he's done this one more recently, Hope in the Face of Suffering. And there are 22 devotions for tough times. They are super. They really are very, very helpful. And the sort of thing that a Christian would enjoy, but you can pass on to others as well. And then I'm thinking of ladies, Mother's Day, and the story of Lady Jane Grey. I think we're all aware that Queen Elizabeth was the longest reigning monarch in our history, but Lady Jane Grey, 9-day Queen of England, was the shortest reigning monarch. She was beheaded at the age of 17. She spent the night before her execution writing letters to her cousins and her sister, urging them to trust Jesus Christ as her Lord and Saviour. And she was beheaded because of her faith in Christ. Faith Cook, who's written this, who's still alive, that she's quite elderly now, she's a great writer. And I just think this is a wonderful, wonderful book. I recommend it. And sons, daughters, look, if you love your mum, you would definitely get one of these for her. There we are. And then, don't want to leave the men out, but this is for anybody. One of the people I've interviewed on many occasions is a chap called David Hamilton. He was a UVF terrorist. He never quite says how many people he murdered, but I think reading between the lines, perhaps two policemen and one civilian, and then he was involved in the murder of somebody when he was actually in the Mays prison. How he became a Christian is totally remarkable, and the change in his life is incredible. A cause worth living for. It's one of those books you cannot put down. I know David very well. He's a tough guy. About 18 months ago, he had to have a leg amputated. And can you believe it? He said to the surgeon, "I don't need any anaesthetic." I just think you're crazy. But anyway, that's his autobiography. And then hot off the press, just came out last week. Just north of Turkey is a little country called Armenia. It was the first nation to accept Christianity as its national religion, but has been terribly persecuted, and probably some of you are aware there's been war there of late as well. And it's a sad story in some ways. In 1915, there was a genocide against the Armenians. In 6 months, 1.5 million Armenians were killed. This is a story of one man who had 33 miraculous escapes from that genocide, and then went on to do the most amazing things. He really saw Christian revival through his preaching in that sort of area in the Middle East. It's brand new. Again, it's a wonderful book. I highly recommend them. But just want to stress one other thing. This is not a Tupperware party. You do not have to buy anything, but they're there, and we don't make profit on the books. They're all sold at the price we get them for. Enough of that. John 3:16. Read to us a few moments ago. I'm going to quote it, if you don't mind, from the older English, because it's how I learned it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If there are any football fans here, you may remember that some years ago in the crowds, you'd often get somebody who'd put up a placard saying John 3:16. Well, it's that particular sentence, this verse from the Bible. I lived a number of years in a place called Garforth. It's where Janet Elwick comes from as well, east of Leeds, a mining town. And there was a chap in our church there who was a Yorkshire miner. 27 years, he was a face worker. He used to go to work in Pontefract. He'd then get the lift down, the shaft down. Deep down, he would then get a train that took him 4 miles, and he mined under Castleford. It sounds hard work, but he did have 11 children, so he can't have been that hard. But how did he become a Christian? Age 17, from a totally non-Christian background, he was sitting on the top deck of a Leeds City Council double-decker bus, playing with his bus ticket. And as he was musing, he saw, I suppose it was an advert by some Christian organisation, printed on the back of the bus ticket were these words: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Now, many of us, of course, will be able to say how it continues. He didn't know that. That was on the next bit of the bus ticket. All he had was John 3:16, part A. But it stirred something in his mind. He went to get the Bible he'd been given as a boy at school, covered in brown paper in those days, and he began to read, and eventually went to church and wonderfully converted. He's still alive, and he's still a very, very zealous Christian man. John 3:16. And Paul Jones, Manfred Mann, living with Fiona Henley. And one day she was going to do something at the BBC. And you've probably seen when you go, you know, you have news footage from the BBC. They often show a church right next to it with a conical spire, All Souls, Langham Place. Well, she'd done the recording in the BBC and she was just walking by the church. Thought, "Oh, I'll just pop in." And it was midweek, it was empty, but she sat in a pew just as you are doing now. And in front of her was a Bible. She picked it up and just at random opened. And she always says it was like there was a spotlight from heaven on John 3:16. And she read it: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And she went home to Paul Jones, an atheist, militant atheist, and said, "Paul, do you know there is such a thing as eternal life? And we need to find out more." Anyway, you'll have to get life stories to read the story. But it was that particular sentence that triggered things. And I want us to think a little bit about that verse. But first of all, the person who spoke it. Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can either be believed and received and accepted, or he can be rejected. But there's one thing about Jesus, you cannot ignore him. People cannot leave him alone. And it's amazing how many people say, oh, he's one of us. He was the first communist, they say. Now they say, oh, yes, he would have been all for LGBT. They're always trying to draw Jesus to themselves. But who is this man? He's totally unique. There's no doubt about it. His biography was written before he was born. Now, I love biography, and well, I've been advertising them already today, haven't I? But every biography I've ever read was written after the birth, usually after the death of the person. But the biography of Jesus was written before he was born by the prophets in what we call the Old Testament part of the Bible. They spoke about a coming Messiah. In fact, there's a sentence, a verse in the book of Acts that says, all the prophets spoke about Jesus. And they told us all sorts of bits and pieces of information, where he'd be born, how he'd be born, how he'd live, how he'd be taken as a refugee to Egypt, how he'd grow up in Nazareth. They told us about his work, his ministry, his teachings, his impact, his healings. They give us a detailed description of the Messiah, the suffering servant's crucifixion, his death. Long before crucifixion had ever been devised by the Phoenicians, around about 300 BC, they tell us about Jesus hanging on a cross, carrying on himself the sin of the world, and being buried, and rising from the dead, and the impact he would have, all written long before he was born. Well, eventually, as we know, in the fullness of time, he was born in that little village of Bethlehem, about 8 miles south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem, who's heard of Bethlehem? It's sort of, I don't know, it's like Kirkett. Oh, no, I better not say that. But it's not exactly Hull. It's not a big metropolis. Just a little village a few miles south of the capital. He was the child probably of a peasant woman, probably a young woman. Many people think she was a teenager, taken as a little baby boy to Egypt as a refugee. And the trek there and the way they lived and then the long, long journey back to Nazareth. He grew up in a poor family, insignificant village. I'm told that in all Jewish writings there's no mention anywhere of Nazareth. Who was interested in Nazareth? But that's where Jesus grew up. They say he worked as a carpenter. I can imagine his father, who was a carpenter, or Joseph, who was a carpenter. I'm sure he learned the trade. I like to think that you can come and debate with me later on. I like to think he was probably a shepherd. But we'll leave that for the moment. They said he was a carpenter. And at the age of 30, he began 3.5 years of traveling around and speaking and preaching. He never wrote a book. He never owned a home. He never had his own family. He never went to college. He didn't travel more than 100 miles as an adult. He had no credentials apart from himself. And yet how he has impacted the world. While still young and preaching, thousands would listen, but then the tide of public opinion began to turn against him, and the leaders of the Jewish society of that day wanted it because he was claiming to be God. He was claiming to be the Messiah, the one they'd all anticipated and looked forward to. He was doing things that was drawing attention to the fact that he had power and ability that no mere human could have. He made the blind see and the deaf hear and the mute speak and the lame walk and the paralyzed receive their strength. He took loaves and fish and broke them and fed the thousands. He walked on water in the midst of a storm at sea. He spoke to the wind and the waves and immediately they obeyed and there was calm and tranquility. He spoke to the dead and raised the dead back to life. Nobody has lived like the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter how carefully his enemies scrutinized him, they could find no hypocrisy, no duplicity in him. People have often said to me, Roger Carswell, just practice what you preach, will you? Jesus only ever preached what he practiced. His words and his works were perfectly consistent. He said, love your enemy. He had loved his enemies. He said, pray for those who persecute you. He prayed for those who persecuted. He said, if somebody hit you on one cheek, turn the other. That's exactly what he did. All his words and works married together. But eventually, because he was so despised, he was arrested and turned over to the Romans. He endured the mockery and the treachery of false trials and false witnesses. He was beaten on the back. He was made to carry on that beaten back, a rough, rugged Roman cross. And eventually, as we know, he was nailed to the cross. His sufferings must have been immense, to be suspended naked between heaven and earth with two cursing criminals and a howling mob of people all hurling abuse at him. The soldiers at the foot of the cross gambled for his garments. And he hung there and he took on himself in three dark hours the sin of the world. In the midst of his suffering, he had love for his mother. Mother, behold your son. And he gave her really for John to look after. John, behold your mother. He was able to promise one of the thieves who began with mockery, paradise. The thief turned and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. When he'd fully paid the price of sin, he dismissed his spirit. He gave up the ghost, if you want. He gave himself over to death. Nobody else has ever been able to dismiss their spirit, but Jesus did. He's the only person, listen carefully, he's the only person in all of history, he's the only person who chose to die. Now, some of you will think, well, no, Roger, just a moment. I know somebody who took their own life. They chose to die. They didn't. They chose when and where and how. Jesus need never have died. He once said, no one can take my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. He said, destroy this body, and in 3 days I'll raise it. And the one who gave himself over to death and was taken and buried, 3 days later conquered the grave. He rose again. Is there anybody else like the Lord Jesus? He towers above the rest of humanity. Here we are, 20 centuries after his life, his death, his resurrection, and we're here worshipping him. He's the centerpiece of history. Somebody said, all the armies that ever marched, and of all the navies that ever sailed, and of all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings who ever ruled, none of them have influenced the world as much as the Lord Jesus Christ has done. There are more books written about him than anybody else. More songs, we've sung new ones and old ones today, written for him. More buildings built all over the world for him. And millions upon millions of people throughout history devoted to him. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He's the friend of all those who trust him. He is, the Bible says, God incarnate, God clothed in humanity, God coming into our world, big enough to become small as a tiny little baby laid in a manger. In fact, as small as an infinitesimally minute fetus implanted in a virgin mother's womb 9 months earlier. This is God, the Creator, becoming like us, his creation. And he came to deal with our greatest need. He came to die that our sin might be forgiven if we would trust him and that we might find new life. And when a person becomes a believer, trusts Jesus, God, by his Holy Spirit, comes to live within that person. And he's the one who spoke these words, for God so loved the world. I want us just for a moment, well, a few moments, to think about that particular verse. I once spent a whole week in doing a series of church meetings. Every evening I spoke on John 3:16, and I decided I'd never do that again. But I love this verse, and at least let's spend a few minutes just quickly thinking about it. I want you to note, first of all, that it speaks for God who loves the lost. For God so loved the world. I think most of us would agree that the world at this moment is in a pitiful state. We wonder where it's going, what's going to happen. And we can talk about the political ramifications of everything that's going on. But actually, the world comprises people. And there's something within the heart of every man and woman and child that dares to defy God, that dares to disobey him. Sin. Not keeping the commandments, not loving God as we ought, not loving others as we ought. And yet God sees this world in all its turmoil and he loves it. He loves lost men and women. But then secondly, still from the same verse, we read that he gave his best. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, in the reading earlier, it was read from a more modern version, and yes, begotten has become one and only. And I understand why, because we don't particularly talk about begetting these days, do we? But it's a great word, begotten. It means of the very same nature as. A friend of mine was going to have her second baby. She had a little boy called Mark, who was four, but she was going into hospital to have her second baby, and she said to Mark, now, Mark, I want you to be a good boy. I'm going to hospital, and when I come back in a day or two, I'll have a little sister for you. And do you know what Mark said? Mummy, do we have to have a sister? Couldn't we have a snow white kitten instead? Well, the answer is no, because humans beget babies, cats beget kittens, dogs beget puppies, etc. It means of the very same nature as. So when God gave his only begotten son, he's giving himself, he's coming into our world. He loves the lost. He gave his best. God became a man and made his dwelling among us. And then, amazingly, he asks the least. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. God is not asking us to turn over a new leaf and try our best and work hard and be good. We fail. I'm sure all our resolutions are already long since gone. We fail. But God's not saying be good. Obviously, when a person becomes a Christian, they will want to do good out of the overflow of the heart. But that's not what makes a person a real Christian. A real Christian is somebody who believes in Jesus, believes indeed that he died and rose again, believes him to be Lord and Savior. And then he gives the most. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Sometimes life can be very short. And we wonder, why did God take this person at this age? But even if we have 70 years and 10 and even more, eventually we pass from this world to the next. The Bible speaks very, very clearly and plainly both about heaven and hell. Is it possible to know that a person is going to heaven? Can we know it for ourselves that one day when I die, I'll be absent from the body, but I will be present with the Lord? Can I know that? And the answer is yes. And it's because of Jesus. Because he died and bore our sin, there is forgiveness. Once we trust him, he becomes our heavenly Father. He's the one who takes us through life, and one day we'll be with him eternally. We can be certain of heaven because of what Jesus has done. And what he's promised. And his promises, he never breaks. So he's not a politician. He's true to his word. He keeps what he says. It's interesting. Listen carefully to me on this one, because otherwise you'll be going to the rector and saying, "Rector, who invited this guy? What heresy is it?" But listen carefully. I've been asked many a time, do all religions lead to God? And the answer is, listen carefully, the answer is yes. All religions lead to God. Every Muslim, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Catholic, every atheist, everyone is on a journey that leads them to God. But the issue is, how will we meet God? If everybody's going to meet God, will we meet him as our judge or as our father? If we meet him as our judge, our works will be tried. And they'll be found wanting because all of us are guilty of sin. We will be lost, we'll be condemned. But if we meet him as our Father, we will be welcomed. Do you remember Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Many a person will meet God as their judge. It's important we make sure we'll meet him as our Father to welcome us. Jesus promised eternal life. He loves the lost. He gave his best. He asks the least. He gives the most. And he spares us from the worst. That whoever believes in him should not perish. It's an awful thing to be departed from God. But Jesus spoke about those who would hear dreadful words, and they hear them because they're relying on their own works, which are never good enough. Depart from me, I never knew you. Hell is a reality. Jesus spoke so much about it because he loved us and he warned us. And yet there is no reason why anyone should be lost. He asks us to turn from our own way and trust, believe, receive, and find forgiveness. I heard on television, I don't know, a couple of years ago, maybe now, the atheistic historian David Starkey talking about wokeism. And he said, it is a new religion. He said, but the only thing about wokeism is there's no repentance, there's no forgiveness, and there's no salvation. I thought, wow, that's quite something from an atheist. But do you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, when we turn from our sin, there is forgiveness. There is salvation. God makes us his, and he takes us through life's journey, and yes, one day through death, and then into eternity. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, he offers forgiveness and newness of eternal life. Last little thought. Oh, it's a year or two or three ago now. It was New Year's Eve, and I imagine we'd gone to bed probably 1 o'clock in the morning. We'd seen the New Year in, but it was snowing very, very heavily. I remember looking out and seeing the snow fall. It really was lovely. But about 3, 4 in the morning, I've forgotten exactly when, I woke up and I thought, oh, I'll just have a look outside and see the snow, and the orange street light was being reflected from the snow. And then I saw a beautiful fox walking over our garden. I don't think it was finding any food there, but it was walking over the garden, and I watched it, went next door, etc. And it was just a lovely sight. So in the morning when I got up, got dressed, I thought, oh, let me go out and see the tracks of the fox, see where it went. They weren't to be seen. The snow had continued to fall, and all those tracks had gone. And I thought, you know, lovely sort of illustration of all my wrong tracks of the previous year covered over because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I, with all my heart, lovingly, and there's a blunt Yorkshireman as well, but could I ask you, do you know that you have eternal life? Are you certain you're forgiven? Are you right with God? And if the answer is, well no, I don't know that I do know, you can. You say, how? Well, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you ask him, please, God, forgive me. Thank you that Jesus died and rose from the dead for me. Please become my Lord and Savior. He will hear and he will answer. And he delights to make you his so that he becomes ours. I brought with me a little booklet. This is free, you'll be pleased to know, like those books over there. It's called Trusting Christ. And it just explains how a person can become a real Christian. There's a prayer a person can pray there. And then some tips to start growing and maturing as a Christian. They're all in this little booklet. I'll be at the door. And if one of these would be helpful to you, please just say, Roger, I'd like one of those, please. It'd be my pleasure to give you one. But do you know where you are now? In your heart, you could just say, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, from this moment, please, I want you to be mine. And I want to be yours, not just for life, but throughout all eternity. Amen. God bless you.